When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome.
We just had a false start because we started, but Guy didn't tell me we were starting, and so I realized I wasn't recording.
Well, it's a fluid podcast. You don't know when it's going to start, what's happening. When I'm in Cambodia.
End. I'm in the Big Apple, New York City.
Obviously, Cambodia is not known for being the basketball podcast capital of the world, but it is now, ladies and gentlemen, mainly because it's a country and not a capital. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm aware of that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast called Advanced Analytics.
The podcast.
If you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball.
We're sorry we haven't done a podcast in a while. It's been an embarrassing state of affairs, to be honest. Well, Christmas is a big reason. Christmas, New Year's
you're
period.
You're going to take a break over the holiday season.
We normally don't really. You just do kind of one on
a break.
Well, I've also got devastating news.
What?
I didn't upload the last podcast we did.
Why?
I forgot.
Well, that's crazy. I can't remember what we said, but there was probably a lot of good stuff on.
There's a lot of good stuff, so I'll have to re-release it as like a lost episode.
I can't remember anything. It seems like a lifetime ago.
But speaking of not that memorable and stuff like that. I feel like we haven't done a podcast in like a month, and not that much has changed in a month. Like, it's, to be honest, the NBA season is just, I'm going to say, meandering along. Is that all right?
Yeah, I'd kind of agree with that.
Like, not a lot has changed since we last talked a month ago. No team is really, like, you know, rollicking, is that an expression? Rollicking ahead. Rollicking? No team is racing ahead.
I don't think that's an expression.
The Sixers are going through a rough patch, which is disappointing because we all thought they were going to be a challenger. The Timberwolves have died a sad death, as they do every year. And Utah is coming right. But besides that, there's not too much in terms of major news. What's been your big exciting story so far?
Right now, I'm just quickly, frantically on the Masked Singer Wikipedia to try and get the scoop on what went down, because I believe season two has finished. And firstly, Victor Oladipo was eliminated. Secondly, on our Twitter account, where I'm trying to break a story, I attempted to break the story that the Flamingo was going to win, and they came third place. Who wins? Wayne Brady.
That's bullshit.
That's absolute bullshit.
Weekend review.
Yeah, I wanted to talk briefly about the big story of this week, which is Kevin Love having hissy fits on the bench, punching chairs, throwing angry passes at teammates, sitting out games. And unfortunately, my hot take on it has already been taken by Bill Simmons. So I feel a bit redundant saying this, but just know that I did have this thought independently. I'm not listening to his podcast. I just saw a tweet about him saying basically the same thing.
Okay. Come out and say, what's your big take?
I'm sick of Kevin Love, Paul George, Anthony Davis, George Hill signing huge contracts or extensions, and then 6 months later asking for a goddamn trade or saying they're unhappy with the team.
You're just regurgitating Bill Simmons' opinion.
No, I'm not. George Hill was...
Have an independent thought for once.
George Hill was the worst, all right? George Hill, I'm pretty sure it's George Hill, he signed with the Kings. And the annoying thing for me is that George Hill got the best of both worlds. He wanted a big contract, so he forced his way to the Kings. The Kings gave him a big contract, and then a year later he was like, hey, turns out the Kings aren't very good. And he wanted to leave. Like, he's like, Vlade Divac told me the Kings were going to be good. And it's like, well, Vlade Divac tricked you, you dumb Foop. And like Kevin Love, when you signed with the Cavs, it was obvious.
The annoying thing is also he was already with the Cavs, so it's like you should know what the organization is.
Yeah, surely. But worse than that,
he didn't know the coach. He didn't know the coach, so it could be
no.
Like,
just Google your team. Look at who the players are. Understand that they're not good.
He says he loves his teammate.
They're all young developers. Yeah, well, he does. Well, no. He's just trying to seem like a nice guy. It's so ridiculous.
He posted
that you take
on
the
Instagram
money.
Photos of him hugging them all.
Anthony Davis did this as well. Like, it's so moronic.
Oh, yeah, it's annoying.
It's just like you can go to any team you were when you're a free agent. You had that opportunity. You passed it up. And now you are the worst person. That's right. I said it. The worst person in the world. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. So you're worse than the Australian Prime Minister and Donald Trump. I'm coming out and saying it. I'm coming political.
Ooh, very nice. I went to Washington, and man, I'm into politics now.
You went to Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, for a couple of days.
And
what an unusual place, but I loved it.
What was unusual about it?
I don't know. I just thought it had a really weird vibe.
Yeah, I guess you're right, where it's like most cities, the main thing is like the main street and the financial district and the shopping.
Yeah.
Whereas in Washington, the main thing
there's
is
no shops.
Big statues.
In the CBD, okay, after the game that I went to, I was like, there was like a few fast food places kind of at the stadium, whatever, after. And I was like, oh, I'll do a lap of the stadium. And I went up and it was kind of like Chinatown, but I was like, oh, there's not really any food places here. I'll walk through the city, find somewhere to eat. I did a whole lap of the city, walked so far, just couldn't find anywhere. There's just no shops.
Okay. Well, that's
in
not
the CBD.
True.
No,
I was just
true.
In Washington. There are shops. What you mean to say is that, so Washington, for people who don't know, is built around the main
capital
monuments,
city.
which are the Capitol building, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, a lot of other statues, and then halfway down is the White House and a ton of museums, mainly Smithsonian museums, but the best one, in my opinion, I was
the
just
spy
there recently.
Museum.
What? Is the what?
The Spy Museum.
No, not the Spy. Did you actually go to that?
Nah, I wanted to, though.
they
had James Bond stuff.
Yeah, of course it did. He's the only spy, anyway.
That you know of, because most spies are good at their job.
Is it because James Bond's the worst spy?
No, he's got movies. He's got a movie franchise.
Okay.
And books.
Merchandise. I was just thinking, if you want to make a spy, you wouldn't make the spy from Britain or America, because no one would trust them. Everyone would be like, oh, he's British, he's clearly connected to... If you wanted to make a spy, you'd want to be from a neutral country. So New Zealand, even though New Zealand's closely associated to America, so New Zealand probably wouldn't be good either. But if you want a spy, you'd want them to be from, like, I don't know, like maybe an African country or a country that doesn't have...
Yeah, I agree. You'd want like a New Zealander who, like, you know, maybe has a basketball podcast. but I won't get too into the details.
I was trying to make you excited by thinking that you could be a spy, but New Zealand would be a bit better. I'm just trying to think of a good country.
I'd never be a spy. Can we just get that on record? I would absolutely never be a spy.
But if you were
no,
a spy, that's
though.
What you'd say.
No, but I wouldn't though. I definitely am not a spy.
No, but how do I know that you're not just saying that? And you are a spy.
I wouldn't lie about that. I'm definitely not a spy.
Okay, well, can I give you a lie detector test to test if you're a spy or not?
I don't do those anymore.
What do you mean you don't do those anymore?
Well, because then when I do want to lie about something, I'll get caught. So
what do you want to lie about?
As a blanket statement now, if I say I've stopped doing them, so when I do want to lie, I can if I want to.
Well, that makes me suspicious that you're lying about being a spy.
Nah, man, trust me, I'm not a spy. I do not work for the New Zealand Secret Service.
Interesting that, A, you don't know what the New Zealand Secret Service is called. It's called the SIS. And also interesting...
NZSS.
No, it's not called the NZSS.
It is.
No, it's not.
NSIS.
Anyway, Paul's probably a spy for the New Zealand government. I want to talk briefly about the Lakers, who I'm obsessed with on this podcast, and just in real life as well. This podcast is really an extension of my real life, like it's Paul's extension of his spy life.
Yeah.
The Lakers have done something. I guess the Lakers are one of the favorites. Like I have to say it. I don't think they're like a strong championship favorite, but like they are definitely one of the four teams who is really going well. Like I mean, the NBA's lacking the punch, but I'd say Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, Rockets are all serious contenders, and then Denver, 76ers, Jazz, Celtics are all should be contenders but are disappointing at this stage and not quite looking up to the scratch. Up to the Facebook, up to the Chappelle's show. And the Lakers have just, interestingly watching them, and I don't think they're that good. I think they're really bad without LeBron and stuff like that. Obviously relying on Rondo is never a good thing. They have done an NBA championship challenging team in the weirdest way, because everyone's like, this is how you build a team with LeBron, who's a big, who can pass great. And that is, you give him the ball and you put around floor spacing and he's unstoppable, right? And he was doing that. That's what he was trying to do in Cleveland. That's what he's done for a lot of his career. And it's really interesting, this new team. They're like, no, let's put him on the floor with multiple big men. So they have McGee, Davis, obviously, and Howard. And they've kind of found a new way to be very effective. And I'm not saying they're the favorite or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's quite interesting how this tactic seems to be kind of working, even though it's like against all conventional wisdom.
Yeah. I still just don't trust them come playoff time.
Giannis might have been sick on Christmas Day, I'm not sure. But Joel Embiid has kind of proven that Giannis does have some problems with like big physical centers, and the Lakers have three of them. So if they are looking at the Bucks, which is looking like easily the most likely outcome, then maybe they're going the right way about it. I don't know.
Oh,
did you just do a big yawn after my great point?
No.
What was that? What was that sound then?
Me just agreeing with the point.
Because it sounded like a big yawn.
I would just come from an area far away on the train, and on the subway I started falling asleep near the end.
Oh, that's no good, mate. Why are you so tired?
Yeah. I woke up to play soccer football this morning, and I don't know. I think and I just had dinner.
Wait, what time? Wait, what time did you wake up to play soccer?
8:30.
And so your excuse for being tired at 8:30 p.m. New York time is that you woke up 8:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
And gave my all on the football field.
Or did you wake up?
Our team was horrible. Passing.
Okay. Well, in saying that though, did you wake up to do some spot? Oh, I won't keep that joke going anymore. Real funny that the two big matchups, the things that are exciting about the year so far, and I've noticed ESPN are rescheduling their games to make this happen, is Lakers-Mavs is a really good matchup and series. Obviously the two biggest players at the moment, Doncic and LeBron, going head to head, but also they've been quite close, exciting games. The first game I think went to overtime, second game Mavs got revenge. In the most recent Lakers-Mavs game, the JJ Barea flamethrower was released, the guy you were talking about. They literally happened again. He came in and sparked the Mavs.
I'm glad that they didn't just save that weapon just for the Magic.
They were down 15, and like they brought out JJ Barea, and even the commentators were like, man, this guy never plays. This is crazy that he's out here. And
I think he's their secret weapon, and they're holding him for the playoffs or for when they need him the most.
Yeah, it's the JJ Barea flamethrower.
Yeah.
One thing that really annoys me on the side of the semi-Lakers related is that the Clippers, right, have got a great team and will definitely challenge the Lakers. It's looking increasingly likely like the Western Conference Finals could be Lakers-Clippers. I'm not 100% sure, unless the Clippers finish fourth and Lakers finish fourth first and they meet earlier than that. But it's really interesting. The Clippers are trying to build their own stadium, develop their own identity, take over the town. And it's just so annoying that they've got such piss poor uniforms while they're doing it, you know? It's like it's like Clippers versus Los Angeles Lakers. It's funny how I said Clippers versus Los Angeles like the Lakers were Los Angeles. It's Clippers versus Lakers. It's Christmas Day, primetime game. The Lakers come out in custom golden uniforms, shining in the sun. The Clippers come out in white, plain, NBA Live 1996 uniform maker uniforms with a Compton font on the top. They look pathetic. It looks like they didn't. They don't have a uniform. It looks like they forgot their uniforms. They left them on the plane, which is weird because it's actually a home game for them in theory. And as a result, they had to go down to the screen printing shop and get some generic unis with a logo printed on the front.
I reckon it's embarrassing. It took to go to like the printing store and stuff. Like someone could have gone to the airport and got them off the plane.
Got the actual uniforms. I will say this, though, because the Clippers do look like they could easily contend with the Lakers. Imagine if Kawhi does win this year. Maybe he doesn't. And, I mean, that's a big imagine. So imagine if Giannis wins this year. Imagine if James Harden wins this year. I would say probably. Who's your favourite to win right now?
That's a good question.
I'm saying Clippers. About. I'm saying Clippers.
Clippers were my favourite going into it, and they haven't looked as good as I thought they would. But, you know, Kawhi is always sitting out. You know, Paul George has missed time. I think they're pretty scary.
They've beaten the Lakers twice. They've just hit rock bottom, getting smashed by Memphis at home. But I think, will get it together. They've got great pieces. And they are definitely, you can't deny that they're not one of the favourites just based on big game performances and on paper and what everyone knows they can become with that roster. Kawhi's legacy, if he wins this year, which I think they're the favourites to do in my opinion. I mean, I know that's a bit of an outsider call, but not that crazy. Kawhi's legacy is crazy if he wins three championships, two in a row with different teams, you know? It's quite an interesting predicament.
Yeah.
Like, that would almost put him up there with LeBron in terms of, like, I mean, LeBron has amazing longevity and stats achievements, but Kawhi having three chips would make him, like... I mean, putting him up there with LeBron... What did you say, above LeBron?
Yeah.
No, okay, well... We hate LeBron here. We're not good LeBron judges. LeBron's one of the greatest ever.
Those three championships would be better than...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I mean, no disrespect to LeBron. I think he's the second greatest ever or something like that. But I mean, you'd have to put Kawhi up there as well. And yeah, it would look very good. If he could do this, I mean, that's a huge if. And maybe it's a stupid thing to say. I'm on a tear at the moment. Do you want to take the mic off me a little bit and talk about something you want to talk about?
What else is there to talk about?
Well, it's time, right about that time, for the Stars to roll on out.
Huge week for me and the Orlando Magic, as I took a bus, a Greyhound bus, down to Washington, D.C. to watch the Orlando Magic take on the Washington Wizards.
Controversial and move, taking a bus and not the train.
It was much cheaper, like way cheaper. Like, I booked it quite last minute, so the train was like, you know, pretty much as a flight was, which was really overpriced as well. The thing was, though, right the night I'd already booked the ticket on Greyhound, and then I found out about a murder that happened in 2008 on a Greyhound bus, and I started reading a lot about it, and boy did it make me not want to go on a Greyhound bus.
What was the murder on a Greyhound bus?
Basically, this man in Canada, he you know, he obviously had some mental health issues going on, and he was like catching the bus, and then he got off at a town, and I think he just sat on the bench outside the supermarket overnight, and he then got out his laptop and put a for sale sign on it, and he sold it to a boy who works at the gas station, and then and he sold it for $60, even though his sign said $600. Then he got on the bus, and he walked down the aisle until a young 22-year-old near the back kind of like smiled and was like, "You can sit here if you want."
Oh no.
He sat next to him, and then after a while of, I think he was like chanting for a bit, and then he just, oh, I shouldn't go into it on the podcast, but it's the most great.
Wait, you can't get all the way to that point of the story.
Skip forward 1 minute if you don't want to hear what he did. Skip forward a minute now. I'll give you 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. From nowhere, he pulls out a knife, stabs the guy heaps. Like, just, I don't know what everyone else was kind of doing at this point.
I love how you're like, because, I mean, I assume this was a stabbing, just because, you know, I assume it might be hard to get, maybe not, to get a gun on a bus. He doesn't seem like he could even afford a gun. And then, obviously, close contact, and he only killed one person, so you assume that's a knife. And then you build it up. You're like, oh, my God, I don't want to say what happened next.
Worse.
I can't say it. And then you're like, worse. He pulled out a knife and stabbed him heaps.
No, then everyone on the bus, I guess, was like, that guy's dead. We just got to get ourselves off the bus. Because my thought, I think, would be to tackle the guy. I guess you say that now, but
yeah.
It's hard to know what you'd actually do. But I think if I was...
Well, you're a spy, so you would do that because you're a spy.
I'm not a spy.
With your training.
But my training would kick in. I mean, I don't have training. But everyone got off the bus, and the bus driver, thinking fast, was like, I'll lock him up. So the culprit is trapped on the bus. But what then happened was the man was parading the guy's body around. This is so bad. And then basically decapitated him, started parading his head up and down the aisle of the bus, and I think also started eating the guy's organs.
Oh my god.
And so there was like a bit of cannibalism as well. Anyway, I read this the night before going on the bus, and it really made the bus not as enjoyable, because I feel like that the whole time.
Just to be clear, the other bus patrons got off the bus and the bus
and
driver
left. And then eventually authorities came, and then I think he tried smashing out a window, but they just got him. And he's actually not in jail anymore. He got out because he was just like so crazy that they were.
Who let that guy out?
I don't know, man.
Is he in an institution?
I don't think so. I think they were like, he needs meds or something. I think he's free.
Oh my god. Well, that's horrible.
So he could have been on my bus. But anyway, this has really put a dampener on what was meant to be a very exciting and enjoyable Magic Mayhem.
So how was the bus? Is it like 12 hours between New York and Washington?
It was like four to five, I think.
So I've done the train twice, New York to Washington, D.C. It's quite a nice train ride, but you don't see a lot. You see a little bit of water, a lot of trees, a little bit of like Philadelphia in the distance. On the bus, do you get to see like kind of like the cities? Do you get to drive through Philadelphia and stuff like that?
Nah, it wasn't good. But also, I slept for most of it.
Did you see Philadelphia? Like, you might have just missed it. Does it stop in Philadelphia?
On the way back, I paid more attention going through Philly, and I think you kind of just go like past Philly more. I don't think the view's great. Was there anything good? And you went past Baltimore. I don't think the view was great.
Okay.
But DC, yeah, I had a great time. I felt like the game and the stadium, like it had such a small town feel, like a Wizards game. Have you been to a Wizards game?
No.
I mean, there was hardly anyone there, but also just like the vibe of the stadium. It felt like I was at a Nelson Giants, like NBL, like, you know, that was just kind of the vibe. I liked the vibe, though.
Compared to the, like, because most of the games you've probably been to are probably Los Angeles and New York.
Yeah.
Where it's like city, like no one knows anyone and huge entertainment value. How is it different? Because it's the same size stadium. Like, what's different in Washington, D.C.?
I don't know. Just the vibe of different.
You've got to describe it. This is an audio podcast. You're one of the hosts. You've got to be like, here's three factors that made me think this is different to what it's like in New York.
Okay, three factors why it was different from New York. Just the audience.
Oh, you should have said the vibe again.
No, I was going to do that as the third one.
Okay.
I was going to say the vibe as the third. But I couldn't think of the first one even. So just the vibe. But, just the vibe.
No, but like, was there like less like going on at halftime? Was there like less like...
Yeah, probably.
Less people was probably the main thing, right? Just less
and
people.
I guess less tourists, more just like local people who live in DC and have like supporting the Wizards, you know? You know, at a Nets game, it's more like... At a Nets game, I guess it feels more like there's a lot of people here just for this one game. When at a Wizards game, it felt more like these people come to every game and, you know, support the Wizards.
Were they like heckling and stuff or like wearing special clothes?
Yeah, there were people wearing special clothes.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I don't know.
Special clothes. We mean Washington. It's funny, I feel like I could probably describe it better than you could, and I didn't go. Like, you mean like Washington, red Washington Wizards shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I was shocked at how many Magic fans there were. We were out in force.
Wow.
But man, it was fun. So I got there as soon as the doors, before the doors even opened, went and lined up, and as soon as it opened, went in, went to the visitors' tunnel, where there was just a bunch of annoying autograph hunters had already beaten me there.
And when you say annoying autograph hunters, you don't mean people who are annoying who are autograph hunting. You mean like semi-professional eBay idiots who are trying to sell an Aaron Gordon signed singlet for $49.
Yes, just these weird guys who were clearly not Magic fans, but there was at least three other Magic fans.
Those people are the worst, I reckon.
Oh, I agree. Because also, like, you see me there kitted out in Magic gear, cap, you know, Jonathan Isaac singlet.
I thought it'd be great if Cap was your only example. You're like, you see Cap. Me there, kitted out in Magic gear, Cap. That's it, just a cap, but still, I'm kitted out in my cap.
But
those autograph hunters,
I basically just pushed in front of one of them because I was like, I usually would hate that.
Yeah,
but I was like, in this situation, screw your whatever business you're running on eBay.
For people who don't know them, they buy like the cheapest tickets you can get for the upper bowl. Like, they don't even care about the game. They walk it. This is the tragedy of the commons right here. For people who don't know the tragedy of the commons, is an economics theory. I mean, you learn it in like when you're 13 years old in economics. It's not like an advanced theory. Okay, this is a bad example because it doesn't really explain this. But like, if there's a public resource, people can exploit it and abuse it as well, or not pay their fair share, or not do what's best for society, just take advantage of it. And in this case, there's signatures, which are free. I mean, there are companies that sell signatures and stuff like that, like, professionally, like, so the player gets
just
some money
it's
as well.
A bad vibe, and we'll move on. Something I just say vibe.
anyway.
It's got a bad vibe.
It's got a bad vibe. Those people are bad, and you're ruining it for everyone and taking advantage of the goodwill of players.
This is like the bus murder. I'm really derailing what was meant to be a good story, a happy story.
Yeah.
Because then, who's warming up when I arrive? Oh, just Terrence the Human Torch Ross and Michael Carter Williams, who was injured and would not be playing in the game. But he was there in his gear warming up, shooting shots, getting ready for his return. And basically then they finished, came back. People were getting photos with Michael Carter or signatures. I grabbed a little snap with them. Michael Carter Williams, Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah. incredible. What a lovely guy. Terrence Ross didn't want anything before the game. He was his focus. He didn't want a high five, nothing. And basically, I sat hard up against the Magic tunnel, and it was incredible seeing Jeff Turner, David Steele, the commentators, Dante Marcatelli, who I have in the past criticized on this podcast. He's another broadcaster with Fox Sports Florida. And I've rubbished him online as well. But man, what a lovely guy in person. I've never
Did you
seen
say
anyone,
hi to him?
I've never seen anyone more keen for a chat than Dante Marcatelli. He walked past me multiple times, really slowly, just staring at me, and basically would say stuff every time, even if I wasn't watching, would be like, hey, how's it going? Like, I've never seen anyone just more keen. And he really won me over with just his desperation to chat to anyone.
Do you think he knew you were rubbishing him online and on the podcast? And as a result, he thought, I'll convince this guy that I'm a good guy. And so now he's bought you. So you can no longer be objective, and critical.
No, I just think he genuinely just really likes the Magic and
you've been bought. You have been bought. You've been seduced. By a snake.
I'm not a spy, and I haven't been bought.
You are. You're a spy who sold out at the first point, mate.
No. He won me over. But anyway, basically, then the team ran out. I can't exactly remember who I high-fived and who I didn't, but it was nearly all the guys I high-fived. It was unbelievable. Whoa. And yeah, touched everyone's hands. It was crazy. And I was just getting off the end of a sickness, and I was thinking, man, it would be bad if the next game it was like did not play illness, and it was
real
like,
wow, Curb Your Enthusiasm style situation.
Yes, but then the game began, and what was I was riding high after getting all those high fives, and then quickly, what was a joyous moment turned to absolute tragedy. As within 90 seconds of the game, Jonathan Isaac, he scores the first points of 2020 of the decade for the NBA. Not just the Magic. I see him score that while I'm wearing his jersey. Unbelievable. Also, okay, I got to point out, a lifelong Magic fan, this was my first Magic game since April the 10th, 2004, where the Magic lost by 20 to the eventual champion Detroit Pistons. Tracy McGrady did not play. Guy, you were at that game. The crowd only really cheered when the commentator would go and entering the court.
Zaza Pachulia. Shout out to Zaza Pachulia.
That was the only time the crowd really got into it, was him saying the name Zaza Pachulia.
Damn
was
straight.
A rookie. But this was my first Magic game since then, so boy was I excited. But then 90 seconds into it, I'm wearing a Jonathan Isaac singlet. Jonathan Isaac on the fast break, he tries to Eurostep around Bradley Beal. He falls to the ground in pain, can't get up. The stretcher that was parked right next to me, they wheel out, stretcher him off. He goes past me looking dead. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. Sucked the air out of the arena. Even the Wizards fans were like, that's the defensive player of the year right there. Possibly out with an ACL. You never know. Also, I met the president of basketball operations, John Hammond. No. Jeff Weltman. John Hammond is the GM.
No one cares.
GM was there as well.
No one cares about that detail.
Kind of cool they were there. We spoke to them, and they said they loved DC, so that was why they came. But also, I'm like, maybe they're exploring trades. I could see Bradley Beal fitting in pretty nice on this Magic team. No, they're not going to trade for Bradley Beal. But but then it was kind of cool. No, I got to talk to the front office of the Magic, and I said I was a big fan, a huge fan. And
that's so weird they would talk to you. Like
Jeff Weltman, I was kitted out on Magic gear, man. I had my cap on.
You said the Magic fans came out in force, though. Were you the only one near the tunnel?
Oh, they weren't at the tunnel. They were sitting in the stands, and there weren't a lot of fans there, so you could just see them. It's just over there. And no, there was a Magic fan behind me, and he was kind of like going to go over. So I was like, I went with him, kind of thing.
Wait, so two random Magic fans who don't know each other just awkwardly just meandered over to the GMs and stuff.
Yes, and they were really nice, and they were kind of like asking like why we became Magic fans, and
did you both say the 90s?
Nah, the other guy was from the Orlando area, but now lived in DC. I think I met another Magic guy as well.
This is an amazing Orlando experience, to be honest. Like, I mean, it really goes to show that there's a lot of value in supporting a team that no one gives a shit about and is not good. Because sorry, that was too harsh. But like, my point is that like, if you support the Charlotte Hornets, like that's the best chance of meeting MJ. You know, I guess MJ is a bad example, but like, if you're a fan of the Minnesota Timberwolves, chances are you're going to be able to meet their entire front office and maybe even become their coach.
It's really cool going to support your team on the road as well, because like, you know, Dante Marcatelli, so keen to have a chat. I think he'd be keen to have a chat to anyone regardless. But yeah, the GMs, like you're there, you're wearing the team uniform. They want to have a chat. But I said I was a huge fan, and Jeff Weltman was like, oh, I don't know if we've done anything yet to warrant that. I thought that was kind of cool to be like,
yeah,
oh man, like we haven't really done. I think he was underselling himself. Like, they've really turned things around pretty quickly. But still, I thought it was kind of cool that he said that.
That's very cool. Anyway, can I ask, did you do this before or after their star player and only valuable trade chip got injured?
No, that's not true. But this was before. But then it was interesting because they were still sitting there. Like, you kind of expect them to rush out kind of thing in a panic and go, like, check out. Yeah. But they sat there, and we were basically trying to gauge the severity of the injury off their reaction. And the guy behind, his theory was that it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be off their reaction. And he was right. It's a hyperextended knee, and he's only going to miss 2 months. Which is bad, horrible for
that's
the season.
That's real bad, yeah. 2 months.
No, but the other option was like he was going to tear his ACL, and you know it was going to be way worse. So it ultimately is good news, but he is missing 2 months. But anyway, the Wizards, the Magic go on to blow out the Wizards big time behind a huge game from DJ Augustine. Markel Fultz in his hometown comeback was incredible as well. But I high-fived everyone again at halftime, and then again at the end of the...
Look, this isn't supposed to be a recap of the people you high-fived from the Orlando Magic.
I'll now rate who was the keenest. Everyone's high-fiving. Keenest to high-five and best attitude while running out of the tunnel.
No one cares who the keenest to high-five was.
Oh, everybody does. Honestly, you can't speak for the listeners because I'm sure they want to hear.
I'm actually kind of interested, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, so best attitude while running in and out of the tunnels, Markel Fultz. He'd run in with so much energy and run out, and he was really keen to high-five everyone. He had a great vibe. And during the warm-up, he was just mucking around with Melvin Fraser Jr. They were just playing one-on-one, but like in very silly style. He was having fun.
It's because he's grateful to still be in the NBA because he's one of the biggest busts ever.
No. He played incredible, and he had a highlight get to the front page where he got a steal and then did a spinning behind-the-back kind of pass ahead to Fournier for his first dunk of the season. Kind of an incredible stat considering how many games Fournier has played to just have the one dunk. But so it was good to witness that as well. But then, okay, the most awkward high fives were the two I had with Vucevic, all-star Nikola Vucevic. We kind of really, you know, his high five felt a little gumby. Obviously, he's got massive hands as well. So my hand both times kind of got stuck with him. So it was almost like you'd hit it and you're almost like holding hands for a second because your like hands are kind of stuck together. Like his hand was too stiff and big. Yeah. And so it'd kind of get caught. But then after the game, Mo Bamba high-fived me with an incredibly wet hand. And I think it was because they just doused water on DJ Augustine, but it also might have just been sweat. But then awkwardly, I high-fived Aaron Gordon straight after him, and Aaron Gordon hadn't played and was in like a suit. And so therefore, Aaron Gordon would have just been like, why'd that guy have gross wet hands that I just touched? Also, Aaron Gordon spoke briefly to the fan who was with me behind me, who I befriended. Aaron walks out of the tunnel just after halftime, and the guy was like, AG. And then AG stopped, turned around, and went, what's good? And he was like, yeah, man, and then walked off. It was pretty cool.
I mean, I wouldn't call that spoke to
recently.
We
spoke to him. We spoke to him.
Okay. So the Magic won the game, did they?
Big time, yeah. They kind of blew them out.
Because that's a huge boost. Like, if the team loses, then they hate you in their soul. That's my experience. So
the fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, because they've got to at least pretend that. They can't be like, I mean, most teams from especially not good teams don't really care whether they win or lose, I don't think. But they've got to at least pretend they're sad, otherwise there'll be bigger backlash. Congratulations on
the end score was 122 to 101, so they won by 21 in the end.
That detail's not at all important. I'd rather you like give any sort of insight besides who's good at high-fiving. But anyway, besides that game, or any other information about that game that you're interested in sharing?
Oh, I might be missing something. Oh, there was a tweet by John Denton, who does a lot of NBA tweets, when Jonathan Isaac got injured, and it was Jonathan Isaac getting wheeled out on the stretcher, and in the side of the photo, you could just see me standing there, hello darkness, my old friend, staring down sadly on his body as he gets.
Oh, you pointed out that the ticket to the ticket for this whole experience was like $9 or something, right?
I paid $9, and that was partly because I stayed at quite a cheap hotel, but the hotel weirdly was like, plus you get three amazing deals or something. And I was like, great, can't wait to see what these deals were. But one of them was $20 off a SeatGeek ticket. So I paid $9.
Oh, so the ticket was $29 and you got it for $9.
Yes, but I actually didn't, I shouldn't go into the details, but I didn't sit actually where the seat was as well.
Did you slip to a lower bowl?
Yeah. I mean, it was so empty, it'd be crazy not to.
Yeah. Oh, good on you, man. It'd be funny to sit in your designated seat, which is like upper deck, 40 rows back.
Yeah.
Besides that, how's the Magic been going? I've been like loosely following them, and they've been up and down, but just chugging along in the eighth seed, am I right?
Yeah. Still in the eighth seed, but yesterday I didn't actually watch my first game of the season. I am going to watch like just the condensed game. But yesterday I tried to watch delayed Magic versus Utah, and the terrible NBA website, even though no spoilers was on, when I clicked on the actual game to watch it, then no spoilers went off, and I just saw the score, and I was so angry. Yeah. I hit the pillow on the couch in anger.
Oh, that's no good, mate.
It was devastating. You know, you look forward to the game every day when they play.
No one does that. Which players do you want to see in 3 years' time when the Magic are where they want to be or whatever? What players do you think will be still on the? Do you still want on the team?
This is the core going forward. Jonathan Isaac, top dog, defensive player of the year, the Minister of Defense.
Yeah,
Markel Fultz, Mo Bamba, Chuma Okeke hasn't played yet.
God,
no, watch. Remember that name. Listeners, remember that name. Chuma. First name Chuma. Second name Okeke.
I can't believe Markel Fultz was your second pick and then Mo Bamba was your third.
No, and AG's currently a part of the core.
You should have just said all of them. Anyway, so we're running out of time. I will remember Chuma Okeke. A bit of movie magic before we leave. Do you have a film you want to review, or do you want to talk about new Star Wars briefly?
Well, that's one of the films. You seen it?
Yeah. Star Wars, I thought, great. Yeah.
Amazing. I loved it.
First Star Wars in this new trilogy, the J.J. Abrams one that he started or whatever. The first one, I loved it. Thought it was great. Loved Star Wars. Then what happened was Princess Leia, the actress who plays her, and I've forgotten her name, died. Suddenly. She was like promoting her book and she like died on a plane. It was very sad.
How have you made me forget her name as well?
How did what?
Well, you've like weirdly made me forget her name as well. That's crazy.
Princess Leia, her name is... It'll come back to her. She's quite famous.
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher in real life passed away. So then I went to the new Star Wars after that, the second one, and I was like, oh no, Carrie Fisher's died. What are they going to do? And what they did is apparently she'd already filmed most of her scenes. All I'm asking you here is just to tell me if I'm crazy, because this is how I remember it and don't know if it's right.
Yeah.
Oh, and there will be a few spoilers, but not major spoilers. I assume everyone's seen the new Star Wars by now. Okay, in the second Star Wars, she's dead in real life, but she's filmed most of her scenes. And then I'm sure there is a scene where they send her off, where she goes out into space and flies away into space. Not flies, she dies in space and her dead body drifts away into space. In the second Star Wars, of this new, latest trilogy, she dies. She dies in episode 2. I watched it, and at the end it says, in loving memory of Carrie Fisher, we love you. And I was like, that's beautiful. I'm like crying in the cinema. I was like, that's amazing. And then it was really the highlight. I thought episode 2, even though it's critically acclaimed, was a shitty movie. I didn't like it. And not because they put an Asian lady in there or anything like that. I just didn't enjoy watching the film. I didn't hate it, but...
Weird to bring that up.
Because most people like me, like most white guys hated it because there was an Asian lady in one scene. Yeah, there was huge backlash.
What? Why?
Because they're racist. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know, mate. Why is anything happening in the world these days? Why is Australia on fire? I don't know, but the world's a messed up place. Okay. My point is that I saw Carrie Fisher die and they did a tribute to her and it was beautiful. And then move on. Episode 3, the latest one, whatever it's called. Episode 3 is the wrong name. She's back alive again and just in the scenes. Okay. And it's so messed up. And then, spoiler alert, so tune off now if you want to hear the spoiler. She dies again and they do another tribute to her and another
Here's what happened. In the second one, because I rewatched it the night before seeing the latest one.
Yeah.
There's a scene where her son, Ben Solo, aka Kylo Ren, flies a jet, shoots her command station on the ship. It blows up. Everyone gets sucked out. And her body flies out into space dead.
Yeah.
But then she kind of comes back to life and she flies creepily. She flies down and back into the ship and she's actually alive. And it was a fake death. And she didn't die.
What? But
she died in real life. So then they put a tribute on the end of the film. But at the end of the film, she's actually alive.
Wait. So in the film, she gets blasted out into space and then flies her way back into the ship.
Correct.
That's stupidity.
It is kind of, I don't mind that second one, but this third one I think really blows it up. This third one really, it took me back to feeling like a kid. You know, as a kid, I mean, you just love every movie.
Yeah.
Like, watching this, I was like, I just found it really good, the new Star Wars. I think 5 stars. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm sentimental and like what you were saying critics were criticizing, like, I was just loving.
Yeah, that's all they've got. That's all they've got, though. Like, when they release a new Star Wars, like, you know how they release those ones that, like, having Han Solo and Princess Leia still in it and Luke is, like, what makes it so great. And
I don't know. I just thought it was really well done, the whole thing. I loved that it was like he really limited it, felt like computer generated effects and stuck with the practical effects, which just gives it so much heart and like old school kind of
But like if it didn't great have score, like incredible if it didn't score. Have the old Star Wars characters popping up again and again and again and CP3O and stuff like that, it wouldn't be as good, and that's why I think the franchise is doomed.
It wouldn't be as good, but I still think it was great.
Because here's the characters
thing I would say.
Yeah.
The thing I will say is, like, it was so good, but I'm like, what are they going to do now? Because it's like...
Yeah.
It was like
they're
he really just like put everything into this one film.
Here's the characters I don't care about. Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, the guy from Ex Machina.
Oscar Isaac.
Like all the new characters. Oscar Isaac, I could just care so little about and all their characters.
I really just care about
C-3PO and...
John Boyega for the next James Bond. And I really like all
John Boyega
guys,
is so bad. He's like supposed to be like the hot guy, and he's not even hot.
He is hot, and Oscar Isaac's hot as well.
I feel like Oscar Isaac, but I don't think he's hot. I don't think any of them are hot.
I think they're all hot.
I only think the hot one is the little roly robot. He's the only one I like. He's hot.
BB one.
Okay. Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. Good on your Star Wars.
I'll just do a speed two more reviews of films.
Two more reviews? Like,
just
save it for next week.
But I'll watch more films. Okay, I'll save them. Next week, I'm going to talk about...
Give me your best one.
Next week, I'll talk about Little Women and Uncut Gems, which has a heavy basketball storyline and stars NBA champion / all-star Kevin Garnett.
That's so weird. I can't get over how weird that is, and
playing
I do want to
himself.
Hear about it. So I've got to go to breakfast. I'll see you later. Goodbye forever. Thanks to everyone for listening to the podcast. Not goodbye forever. This will be uploaded shortly. Thanks for listening. I've been Guy Williams.
I don't do that anymore, and don't even worry. I'm not a spy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.